Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, baby!
Hello, babe. Hello, baby. Hello, everybody. Who is ready to rock? I'm ready to rock. You're ready to rock. And the podcast will rock. That's right. We are your show that goes into the discography, the catalog of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. We are rocking and rolling. The power's going out over here. It's all good. We're still kicking. At least I am, anyway. This is one of your hosts, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. You still got power?
I do. I have power, shockingly, because the power goes out here all the time. It went out for a couple hours on Christmas. That was lovely. The power is on. Everything's pumping. We got a ton of new listeners listening to the show, so I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and for engaging with us on Twitter. And, checking out the show and leaving those reviews and those, especially on Apple Podcasts, anytime you can leave us a decent review and give us a star rating, that's much, much appreciated. It's going to help us grow. And I just want to give a special shout out to all the great podcasts on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. If you actually go to our website now, podcastwillrock.com, we have all their links on there. We have their Twitter feed along with our Twitter feed embedded in there as well. And we have merch. Mark, we finally have some merch. Actually, I put it in order yesterday. Got some Podcast Will Rock t-shirts coming my way. The girls got some hoodies coming. So if you like the show and you like the logo and you want to wear it about and help spread the word, we'd sure appreciate it. We'll give you a shout out on the show. And Mark will show up at your house too and maybe mow your lawn.
Now it feels professional. Now that there's merch, there's a website, that's what we aim for. Yeah, I'll come over, maybe not mow your lawn, but I will serenade you with a song or two. Maybe it'll be a Van Halen song, ooh, just acoustically, and then you get to pick whether you want a Roth-era tune or a Hagar-era tune, and I will either gladly accept it or tell you why you're wrong. I'm just kidding. There are no wrong answers here, not at all. But you guys know how this show works. We just talk about a song randomly. We spin the wheel. We have a wheel that has all the Van Halen tracks on it. We have no idea which one we talk about. Sometimes they are really awesome, popular tracks that we all know, we all love. Sometimes not so much. Sometimes it's a complete surprise, and that can either be on the yay side or the nay side. And here lately, we've sort of been kind of up and down with the yays and nays. And not only that, but we are having people that are getting involved in the conversation, aren't we, Corey?
We absolutely are. In the last 2 weeks, Mark and I have been split. The last week was learning to see. Mark liked it. I did not. And it sparked a little bit of a conversation on Twitter this week with a couple of our listeners. And I want to give special shout outs to these gentlemen, Joel Scott Zerns and Will Leinert. We're kind of having a little back and forth about who the better songwriter is. I know Joel kind of took to Mark saying Sammy's the better songwriter, said, hold on a second here. Van Halen's most successful period was when David Lee Roth was running the band. And then Will Leinert said, hold on here. Actually, you're looking at most Billboard rock singles. That's Hagar. Total albums goes to David Lee Roth, but a lot of those albums were sold during the Hagar era, actually. And some of those David Lee Roth albums weren't that successful. So even though you have the two diamond albums from David Lee Roth, Hagar, all of their albums, 3 million plus, three times platinum. With 5150, I believe six or seven times platinum. So a real back and forth. And I think when Mark and I were talking about who's the better songwriter, it's more musically whose taste do we kind of align with. When you're looking at it empirically, I'm ready to call it a draw because David Lee Roth sold a ton of albums. Sammy Hagar sold a ton of albums. They're both really popular, different times. There's a whole bunch of different factors. I really enjoy them both. For me, I love double entendres. Yep. I love witty lyrics. Bon Scott is probably my favorite lyricist of all time. And I equate David Lee Roth more to the Bon Scott side of lyric writing. So that's why I gravitate towards David Lee Roth, whereas Mark, much more of a tortured soul. He likes the love songs. He likes the weepy ballads. He enjoys the Sammy Hagar stuff, and that's okay.
What can I say? I'm a weepy bastard, and weepy bastards love weepy bastard music. It's just the way it goes. And a lot of the time, a lot of the things I say when I go about who I think is the more achieved or better songwriter, if you were, a lot of it's opinion based, you guys. It's just opinions. It's fine. But also, check the record sales. And I guess we're all looking at different sources here, and different sources will claim different things. But look, all in all this to say, it's a fun discussion because in the end, there's no winner because we're all winners.
Exactly.
Because Van Halen is Van Halen. It's a band. It's a team effort. And we're a part of that team, whether we know it or not, as the fan community of this band. That's why this podcast exists. That's why you guys listen. That's why you follow. That's why we're here to just celebrate it. It's just fun to, poke and prod over what the hell David Lee Roth is talking about sometimes.
Like a song like Honey Baby Sweetie Doll. That's, I loved his lyrics in that. I know Mark wasn't a fan, but I dug it. Like you said, we're all winners. We got two tremendous eras of music with David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar, and we got a bonus Gary Cherone album thrown in there for good measure, which
that
the one song we have off that album wasn't very good, but I know there's good stuff on there, and I'm looking forward to getting to that. But before we do, Mark, we kind of accidentally started a recurring segment on the show we're going through a particularly brutal winter up here in Canada, and even in Tennessee you had almost an eighth of an inch of snow and it completely shut the state down, I hear. We've had 4 feet of snow here forever. We just had another blizzard on Tuesday. But I thought I should maybe do up a little intro for our weekly weather report. So if it's okay with you, you've never heard this, I'd like to play it for you here.
Play it.
Let me enlighten you people. This baby has satellite comlink. We got onboard pulse Doppler. We got X-Rad real time. Today, we're going to make history. So stick around. The days of sniffing the dirt are over. Oh, and by the way, I really enjoy your weather reports.
You slime! I'm not fooling you yet! Come on, come here! Come on, come on! Come on, get your hands off of me! Come on, get
back on! I gotta go, Julia, we got cows!
That's right, we got cows, and we got the And the Podcast Will Rock weather report. First, let me give you the weather report up here in Canada. It was a warm one. Everybody's walking around in shirt sleeves. Minus 26 today up here in Canada, which for you folks in the States is minus 14. So much better than it has been here in Canada. It's actually been warming up as the evening's been going on. We're about minus 13 right now. So we're coming out of a deep cold that it kind of enveloped Canada here. So we're breathing a little easier up here. How are you dealing with the horrific weather conditions in Tennessee, my friend?
Well, now that you mention it, the roads did ice over today. We were in the low 20s Fahrenheit. A little bit of snow just as sort of like like, I don't know, someone sneezed and then here's some snow. Jack Frost sneezed. But it was ice. We had ice today. But still not as bad because everyone went to work. Everyone got on the roads and just kind of gave it hell. So, you know, not so bad. But let me tell you something. This is a true story. I haven't even told Corey this. The other day, we had a fire drill at work. To skip ahead, turns out wasn't a fire drill. There was a fire, a little small one, but we were outside of the office, the warehouse for a really long time, and I didn't grab a coat because I thought, oh, it's a drill, we'll be in and out, it's fine, the sun's out, it's cold, but we'll be okay. It was not okay. I froze, and I was not happy about it. So, look, Canada weather be damned. It's not for me. the coldness. I don't do well in winter, especially when I'm stuck outside for what I thought was no reason. There was a reason, but I had no coat on. Don't go outside without your coats, people. It's still January, and that means something in certain parts of the world. So,
you know, that happened at my daughter's school this week when it was minus 26. They had a small fire in this brand new school, and they were rushed outside. They had time to grab a coat, but that was about it. They were in their inside shoes, and there's, like I mentioned, 4 feet of snow. So they were soaked from like the knees down for the entire day after that. It's no fun being cold. And I know I kind of mock the Tennessee weather because my, you know, in the 20s doesn't sound that bad, but when you're not used to it, it is that bad. And it's still chilly. You still need a coat and all that. And icy roads are not fun for anyone.
No, especially when you're on the roads for a certain length of time in a given day. It's really not fun. But I'd rather just be uncomfortable than be up to my knees in wet snow. So I feel for your daughter, and I feel for the people of Saskatchewan, because that's bad.
But you know what? We're warm. We're indoors. We have the Wheel of Rock all queued up. I got my whiskey going. I feel like the ladies' man. I got my Cavatier. I got my Weiser Special Blend and my Coke Zero. And I'm ready to spin this fucker and get a decent tune, because we didn't get a Van Halen song last week. We got Learning to See, and it was dog shit. Let's get something good this week.
I will have you know, I got quite a thrill from that track, as the listeners will know. If you don't know, go back and listen to that song. All of you, I want to hear from you. Tell me if I'm wrong, or tell me, you know what? We agree with Mark. That's not a bad track.
Well, you know, and I put a poll up, actually. I put a poll up after the episode. I'm going to start doing this every week. What was your take on the song? 55% said it sucked, but 44% said they liked it. It rocked. So there's more people on your side than I thought, and surprisingly, your girlfriend is not one of them.
No. my beloved Christy was not a fan. Not a fan of this track. I thought perhaps she would see my side of things. This time around, she did not. She was all Team Corey. She specifically name-dropped Team Corey. She said, I'm sorry, I'm Team Corey on this one. That song's awful.
You know what? I'm getting a shirt made up. I'm putting it in the merch store. It's going to say Team Corey. We'll get Team Corey and Team Mark shirts. My wife was also, she listened to our show for the first time because she had a day off, and she listened to that episode. And all she texted me at the end was, fuck that song. So that's three against one, which kind of surprises me.
The cheese stands alone. That's about right. I am the 44% on the Twitter poll. It's all me. It's all me. I have multiple accounts. But hey, no worries. It's all good. They can't all be winners. Let's hope tonight is a winner. Do you have any hopes, anything in particular that you want the wheel to spin? We know that the wheel is fickle about that sort of thing, but if you just had to listen to a particular Van Halen track of a certain era, what would it be?
You know what? I was riding to work today, and I was listening to a lot of David Lee Roth. I try not to load up Van Halen because I want it to be fresh for the show, but I was listening to Eat 'Em and Smile, which I love that album. I really want a Kick and Dave tune, but I want something a little harder. Like, you listen to that album, you got Steve Vai on guitar. There's some really good rockers on that. I'm like, give me something from Women and Children first. Kind of that harder edge or anything from the first three albums with David Lee Roth, I'm kind of in the mood for. Or even if it's going to be a Sammy track, give me something rocking. You know, give me Best of Both Worlds. Get me Pound Cake, something like that. I'm in the mood to kind of rock out tonight. How about you?
Absolutely. I'm always in the mood to rock out, but you know what? I think I'm with you on this one. I would not be mad if the wheel decided, let's go back to Van Halen 1 or 2. Let's just get our rock on. But we shall see. As I said, the wheel is fickle. Let's see if the fickle mistress wants to come out.
All right. I'm giving her a shuffle. So this is episode 10 of 120. So we only have 110 to go. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's just very small at this point. We're actually chatting with some of the other...
Well, as the Smiths once said, there is a light that never goes out. But that's a different podcast. It's fun.
That's right. Okay. Couple more shuffles. We're going to take it over to Mr. Hagar, and we're going to get this sucker spinning.
Here we go!
Here we go. Coming down. Oh, we're getting something from 5150 Inside.
Oh!
And you know what? We were actually the next song, and folks can't see this. I might actually post the video of the wheel spin. We almost got 5150 itself, which would have been awesome. And one of our super fans, Brett Cooper, that's his favorite Van Halen song. He wants to come on the show and talk 5150. We almost got rid of it on the wheel here for him tonight, but instead it landed on Inside from 5150. This was the last track, I believe, off of 5150. Mark, do you have any recollections of this one?
I know that I've jammed it. I know that spoiler alert, I do enjoy the song, or at least I did. But it's still far enough to where if we listen to it now, I think it will be pretty fresh. And I like to think that we're looking at it through a fresh perspective anyway. So yeah. I'm excited to revisit this because I know this particular track has been a long time. I don't often, if I'm going to jam a Van Halen album, 5150 is usually not my go-to. But if I'm going to hit shuffle, then I expect to hear a few tracks from this album. This one might be one of them.
Yeah, I do rock 5150 quite a bit. It's one of my favorite Sammy albums. Inside is not one that depending on my mood on the day, that may be one I skip if it comes up on shuffle. You know, I'm listening to Why Can't This Be Love or Dreams or Summer Nights or Best of Both Worlds. But you know, Inside is maybe one I skip. So
perfectly valid.
Yeah. So this is what I'm looking forward to because I hadn't heard it in a while. And, I'm kind of interested to see how it comes off. This is, I think, one of the stronger Sammy albums, of course, coming right off the heels of 1984, released in 1985. It was the most successful Sammy era album for Van Halen. It's been registered 6 times platinum. So that's 6 million copies in the States and Canada, 3 times platinum. United Kingdom, it went silver, 60,000 units sold. No numbers on Thailand, which, of course, we are very big in Thailand. So I got to point that out, that there are no record numbers for 5150 in Thailand, but we'll try and dig that up for those folks at some point.
Shout out to our Thai listeners. I haven't figured out how to say hello in Thai yet. I'll get there.
We'll get there. We got time. We got 110 episodes to go, man. Like, we got lots of time.
We do, yeah.
All right. So, 5150, it was recorded November 85 into February of 86. Sorry, released in 1986, not 85. I was mistaken there. It has that classic cover art, right, where you have, like, Atlas lifting the globe.
Atlas.
And you have the Van Halen logo, the new logo with the wraparound, the kind of the look that we incorporated for our logo with the wraparound wings. This was actually, I recently started collecting vinyl, and this was the first Van Halen album I got on vinyl, and I just, it's always kind of stuck out to me. When I was a kid, of course, 1984 was my introduction to Van Halen, so 5150 came next. So that was one of the first albums I picked up. Collecting music as a youngster up here in Canada. And I just remember really being enthralled with it. So our first 5150 song, I'm very excited. It hit number one on the Billboard chart, this album. This song, of course, was never released as a single. So I don't really know much about it. What do you say? Maybe we just get into it.
I think we should. Let's rock out to some 5150, our first track of the album.
All right. Here's a little Inside.
Man, what kind of crap is this?
I don't know.
I thought it was really going to be different this time, and it is.
Oh, All right, so right off the hop, we got we got a little spoken word section that was quite nice, and a little funky bass line from Mr. Michael Anthony going there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I kind of dug how this kicked off. What did you think?
Much like the commentary, it's like, well, what is this? It's like, but instead of they're sort of like sort of sticking their nose up at it as it sounds like, yeah, I'm absolutely digging it. You know what? That it gives me a little bit of a Peter Gabriel vibe.
Ooh.
Is it? Am I crazy in thinking that? It's just kind of like the aesthetic of just the way that introduction started,
like 80s Gabriel,
sounds like something.
Yeah. No, I
don't know why. I don't know why I thought about that, but yeah.
But it had kind of that electronic sound to it too, almost, right? That bass sounded like it was processed quite a bit. It wasn't just a.
Oh yeah, yeah. It almost sounds like he's got it through like a synthesizer or maybe just an effects pedal that gives the sort of sound of that with the bass. I'm not sure, but yes, it's that electronic sound that gave me Gabriel vibes.
And we should point out, Ted Templeman, a longtime Van Halen producer, did not produce 5150. Don Landy took over producer duties here. He was the engineer on the previous Van Halen album, so he got promoted to producer on this one. So already a kind of a different sound than what you got from Van Halen in the late 70s, early 80s, and you're getting more of an electronic sound, maybe, you know, which was kind of the style at the time, right?
Yeah, yeah, I was just about to say, it's like that's sort of their way of blending into what was happening in popular rock music.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going here. Okay, so interesting and lyrically interesting. I went out and bought some brand new shoes. Now I walk like someone else. Is that maybe alluding to filling some diamond-studded shoes from the previous lead singer of Van Halen?
I mean, it's a bit on the nose, yeah. But why not? Yeah, why not? Sammy's making a statement. The whole band is making a statement with this. That's what they're doing. They're talking throughout the track. Music's playing and everyone's talking, making commentary through the studio, almost as if they're not aware until someone's their producer says, "Go, dude, sing the song." Like, oh, right. Yeah, I think that's exactly what that is.
Now, this almost feels like this is the end of the album. Let's just throw some filler on there. Like, it doesn't feel like it's a cohesive thought.
It kind of does.
Like, because you have them chatting throughout the beginning. They're saying stuff like, hey, yeah, I don't know, man. We're dying. You got a point there. This is fat. You actually got 3 points there. Oh, yeah. Hey, what? Where do you get that close? Like, none of this shit really makes any sense, right? It just feels like they had a groove. They're just kind of throwing whatever the hell they want on there as kind of a, we need a 10th song to finish off the album type thing.
Could be that. We've talked about on the show a couple of times how we feel how some of these tracks come together, especially some of the Roth tunes sort of feels like, well, we have this. I don't know, Dave, what do you got? You got anything? Like, give me like 10 minutes. It's like, yeah, okay. And the effort sometimes shows. This kind of sounds like we have the bass line. We Alex throw some drums onto it. You know, Eddie can figure out the rest. And maybe perhaps I was actually thinking, I had to double check. I went, Is this the intro song to 5150? Because I didn't think it was, but it almost to me sounded like it could have been an intro track. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just from the context of the lyrics and the way they're presenting the structure of the song with the chatting, the over commentary over the music, kind of going, it's like, oh, we're getting our shit together before we actually kick this thing off. But as I said, I double checked and I went, no, it's not the opening track. And I knew that, but for some reason in my brain, it kind of registered that it could have been, but I think it's more what you said. I think it's one of those, we've got this, should we throw it in? Yeah. Okay. We'll figure it out along the way.
Yeah. It's like, we got this groove. We have 8 songs done. We need a 9th to finish off side 2 of the album. Let's just fuck whatever, right? Whatever comes to mind, just scat it out there and we'll put some shit to it. But it's, you know, the groove is decent enough. You know, I like Michael. I always liked Michael Anthony as a bass player. You know, he's got a good groove going here. You know, Alex is, you know, they're right in the pocket, it kind of seems like. But yeah, as an opening song, especially the first song you're going to introduce the world to your new lead singer with after David Lee Roth, this would have been a tremendous mistake, I think, maybe coming out with this one. 51.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, 5150 opens with a song called Good Enough, which is more, I think, accustomed to be the lead off track to this album, whereas this one just feels like a, fuck it, we got, you know, 5 minutes we got to kill here on the end of this record, let's just do whatever. And lyrically, that's kind of what we're getting here. Now I'm really curious to hear what the guitar solo is going to sound like, what Eddie puts on this, but you know, right now the band is feeling good. I'm not really liking the production so much. It feels very electronic, which I don't like in my Van Halen. They're a very straight ahead rock group. They don't need all this processing and shit, but we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, they don't play electric instruments at all.
No, they do, but you know what I mean. It's
yeah, I know. I'm just being an ass.
I don't want Peter Gabriel in my Van Halen, if that helps. Just like I don't want Soundgarden in my Van Halen. I want Van Halen in my Van Halen.
I knew it was going to come back to that. But that's fair. That's fair. You don't want your Peter Gabriel in your Van Halen. That's
right.
That's very fair.
You put your peanut butter on my chocolate. Okay, let's keep listening here.
Well, that's...
Okay, did you hear that? Underneath the...
I couldn't make...
he's literally saying, hey, don't touch me there, okay? Just don't do that, okay? Oh, why? Just pay my accountant.
I didn't hear the just pay my accountant part, but I heard everything else, and I was going like, wait, what's happening
what?
Here?
What? Really?
There's a lot of things vocally that Sammy is doing that I'm going, what are you doing?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I don't recall this at all. I'm starting to think, did I ever jam this song whatsoever? I don't know. Not ringing a lot of bells. There was something. Oh, right. So I think one thing you might not like about this is Sammy has a lot of vocal reverb put on this for whatever reason. It's like he told the producer, just turn the reverb all the way up. And for those not in the know, the reverb is the sound effect that makes you sound all echoey. So that's why he sounds like he's in a tunnel. Reverb is used. It's a common effect used on every single album that you've ever listened to, even if it's very subtle. That's the beauty of it. Some people want it so subtle that it's not there. Some just don't want it at all. But when you're in a studio space, you're always going to get it. It's just the way it is. And then there are people that say, to hell with it, crank it as high as it'll go, so I literally sound like I'm in an echo chamber. And that's what this sounds like. And Sammy doesn't need to be in an echo chamber. Like he doesn't. His voice doesn't need the extra help. He's fine on his own. We know this. I don't know why in this particular song, it's not like it's helping anything whatsoever. But yeah, it just sounds like they threw Sammy in a tunnel, gave him a microphone, and is like, "We got you. Just go." And maybe that's why he sounds so confused. I don't know. Well, maybe is that what's bothering you about this?
Overproduced is the word that comes to mind. This track feels like it's overproduced. Yeah. That, and I get it. Almost sounds like Sammy's trying to be the comedian a little bit, be a little bit funny, tongue in cheek about being the replacement for this band. But Dave played that role so well, right? He doesn't quite reach those David Lee Roth heights. Maybe just stick to being, you know, straight down the center. You don't have to be wilder than Dave. You don't have to be funnier than Dave. You just be Sammy. And this track feels like he's kind of veering off that a little bit. And maybe that's what eating at me. That, and, you know, if you got a first-time producer, I don't know if this was his first album, but he was an engineer on the other Van Halen albums. Mm-hmm. It just feels overproduced, like you're trying too hard. Like, you got Van fucking Halen. Just plug in some amps and go. That was kind of the magic of those early albums. Ted Templeman knew how to produce this band, whereas this fella just feels like he's tacking on maybe a little too much shit and overproducing it a bit.
Yeah, that could be a thing. I wonder if I wonder how much input the band had.
I bet you Eddie had a lot
in the production side of it. So, I mean, I'm not trying to throw blame or anything at Eddie, but I'm wondering. I said, well, did you approve of this, or was this your call to just kind of go in a weird direction? I'm inclined to think maybe Sammy had something to say about it, but I don't know. Yeah, right away. I am with you on this. I think it does sound overproduced, so I'm not really digging what's happening right now.
Well, let's see if the solo can save it here.
It could save it.
We still got a ways to go, by the way. We still got almost 3 minutes to go. Like, this is a long damn song.
Oh, it's a
5 minute song.
Oh,
like, gee whiz. Okay, let's give it a shot.
Hold tight.
Okay, so the band was singing, "That's what's coming down," and then Sammy says, "On my butt anyway, hey hey."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like
I think I just took a gander at the lyrics and listening to the track, like going along with it, I think I figured it out. They're at the end of this thing, they're ready to close it out, and they are just wasted. So there was no, I mean, maybe they, Sammy came up with the catchy phrases, you know, the part that you hear singing, Maybe he came up with that. Maybe the hooks are him. But the rest of it is just him screaming at the other guys in the band, and then them like talking back at him. Like, there's even one, there's a line where he even says, Eddie, can't you read lips? I came into this thing with an open mind. It almost sounds like he's arguing with the guys. He's like airing out the dirty laundry while this track is playing. It's probably by design, but at the same time, it almost feels like, did you guys know you were being recorded right now? Because I don't, what's happening?
It's such a weird lyric. And then after that, yeah, you have Mike, what was that shit you gave me last night? And Mike was probably the straightest guy in the band.
Which, like, what? That's like Mike's playing that groovy bass line. He's just going, the hell are you talking about?
He's like, Mike, what did you give me last night?
No,
Diet Coke?
That.
Like, it's Michael Anthony. He wasn't the big drug or booze guy. He's like, he probably gave you a Diet Coke and some Twizzlers. Like, it wasn't.
Despite the fact that he played a bass where the body was in the shape of a Jack Daniels bottle.
That's right. God love that bass. Okay, well, let's keep going with this thing. We're over halfway through now.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I had to look this up because I was listening to that and like Eddie's right, he's on both channels. And I always thought older Van Halen, he was always on like the left side. Like it was almost like a concert, right?
Yep.
He was always on the left side. And in this one here, he's on both channels. And I thought that was kind of weird. And so while we're listening to that solo, I'm looking it up on Wikipedia. And sure enough, for the first time, Eddie's right down the middle instead of being panned to one side. And it was kind of strange. I don't know if I like that. What did you think?
I hadn't even thought about that until you just mentioned it. And I said like, oh my God, you're right. Because I specifically have memories where I, with my Walkman listening to Van Halen Best Of Volume 1, and Eddie's right there in the left, like every time. And I always, you know, in my younger days, I was thinking, was that a mistake? Like, did they mean to do that? You're supposed to hear it all. You know, you grow up and then you realize like, no, it's by design. But yeah, here he's right in the middle. He's everywhere. And you're saying this is the first time that this is happening?
Yeah, well, apparently, again, just reading on Wikipedia here.
Like this album?
Yeah, on this album. He was not a fan of the live mix that Ted Templeman used to do with the David Lee Roth version of the band. So, but it kind of changed the sound too, which I think a lot of people kind of, you know, they're used to that Eddie Van Halen sound and coming out the left side, all of a sudden it's coming out of both speakers and the sound has changed. You know, that might be disconcerting for some longtime Van Halen fans.
Yeah, but I can get why he would want to change that.
As a guitar player, you would like to be right in the middle of the mix?
Yeah, like you want to be all throughout the mix. Like, even if you're not playing, you still want your presence known. Maybe he just, he just said he wasn't a fan of the sort of live mix, as it were, but I get it. But it does somewhat lose a little bit of the Van Halen charm, especially if you are used to hearing it a certain way. To me, though, it sounds, when he's in the middle like this, it sounds fuller, like in a full stadium. Maybe that's just me, but and maybe that's what he was going for. I don't know, but I can get
What did you think of the solo? Overall,
be a fan. I really dug the solo. It wasn't, it's not, I don't think it's his best solo. His best solo is probably, Eruption or something. You know, it's like, it's so easy to go there, but I mean, like, that's a pretty damn good solo. This was good. It served the song. My problem is, I don't think this solo is saving the song. How did you feel about it?
Exactly that, actually. I like that it wasn't too busy. It fit. kind of the parameters of the song, but like you, I'm kind of like, yeah, it doesn't elevate it. Sometimes a good Eddie solo can do a lot to elevate weaker material, right? And I don't know if this pulled that off.
Yeah, that was one of the songs we talked about in an earlier show. Was not digging the track at all, and then Eddie came in and saved it with a solo, and I gave it a yay. Yeah. This is not leaning towards a yay. I'm just gonna say that right now. It's a good solo. It's a good. I don't want to say standard by numbers Eddie Van Halen solo, because what the hell does that mean? But it's a good solo. It's just not a great solo. Yep.
Now we got a minute 30 here. Let's see if this saves the track for us. From the inside, Mark Kammeyer. That was a thing we just listened to. Your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a song. It was literally some leftover tracks that they didn't have a full lyrics for. They didn't have a plan for. They just had it. They needed to throw something on the album. The rest of the time, they're just dicking around. I stand by what I said earlier. I think they just got wasted and decided, let's go in the studio now and just, I don't know, just do whatever. And first time producer's like, yeah, okay, I can do that. We'll figure something out. It's cool. That's what I think is happening here. Either that or they're just trying to be really funny, and it's not funny. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Oh fuck! Jesus, I think I kick things off, so I'll put in my vote right now. The question, of course, we ask every week is that what dreams are made of, or is the dream over? I'm saying. Oh, this dream is over. Fuck this song. Oh, like you said, they had a groove. They had like one more track they needed on the album. They had 8 songs. We need 9. Let's just go in there and fuck around, because none of these lyrics mean anything. Literally at one point, you just hear, "Hey, Sammy, I found a hat and a pair of shoes. Are they yours?" Like this song isn't anything. It's not. It's barely a song. It's a groove with some spoken word shit. And Sammy, you know, sings and scats some stuff on it. It's overproduced. This kind of mars my impression of what I consider a great album. I know at the time 5150 didn't get great reviews. Rolling Stone gave it a 3 out of 5. I think that was one of its highest reviews. But in the years since, it's considered one of their best albums. And that's how I always remember it. But it's not for this song. And it's at the end of the album, maybe for a reason. They just tacked it on because, like, we got to fill 5 minutes here. We're not going to do a cover, maybe, because David Lee Roth always made us do the covers. We're not doing a cover. Let's just put this horse shit on there and hope people just, you know, just forget about it. And it's forgettable. It's like you said, it's not even really a song. So I can't give it a yes vote on this. To me, it was substandard. And a poor indication of the Sammy Hagar era, I think. I always remember Sammy's contributions to be a little better than this. This song didn't do it for me. How about for you, Mark?
It's a funny thing about Dreams, but my whole thing is... Yeah, it's not a song. As I said, it's them messing around, and there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what you want to do, it's fine. I have to imagine that they put in 8 really strong tunes, or at least they felt were super strong, and that's what they had in them. They're going into this album during a time of change. Things are different. People are talking, you know, they're a huge band, the press, everybody's kind of looking at them going like, what's your follow-up going to be? Like, what's that going to sound like? How will you guys maintain your Van Halen-ness? How will you do it? And I got to imagine, because I know of the other tracks on this album, and several of them, if not all of them, I know are very solid. A couple of them were big hits. So, you know, a few out of 8 strong songs, that's not bad. But then they had this one. And this one, I take back what I said earlier. This is definitely not an intro song whatsoever. It is an outro. An outro of, hey, we did it. We got through all the shit. We got through all the, let's just have fun. Or even, let's not even have fun. Let's just, I don't care. Let's get drunk and just celebrate. And it's, hey, producer, hit record. We're just going to say some shit. And what's he going to say? No. You know, you got the time, and then you got the the music available. Might as well throw it in there. I agree with you, though. I really wish they had done a cover. I wish they'd thrown a cover at the end of it. I have no idea what they would have done. And I know that's Dave's thing, but even if you wanted to make a statement and say, hey, we're not doing that, the thing that you're used to. We're not doing our normal thing. We're trying to be different this time. That's great. Awesome. But that doesn't mean that you can't still have a little fun. You know, you can't still throw the fans a bone. Throw yourself a bone, because you probably had fun playing those covers. You know, it sounds like you did. So I think it would have benefited, I think. But it is what it is. And what it is that Inside is a little, is just not for me. And it's not for you. This is not a track. It is an outro at best. And... that's what I have to
say. You know, and the Sammy Hagar era, they were not opposed to doing covers, because on their For Unlawful tour, they did Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who brilliantly. Yeah. And on this tour, they covered Led Zeppelin's Rock and Roll. They didn't want to do a lot of David Lee Roth tunes on that tour, so they did a couple of Sammy tunes, like mm-hmm. I Can't Drive 55, of course, and There's Only One Way to Rock. But they covered Rock and Roll on that. Like, how fucking great would it have been if Van Halen put their cover of Rock and Roll on the end of this album? What a tremendous... that would have been fantastic. Now. Instead, we got this. That's, and so yeah, the groove is cool and the band is good, all that. But they're yeah. You know, Sammy's trying to be funny and he's not coming off as funny. And it just doesn't work.
No, and maybe the him jumping in as Michael's playing, going like, what the hell is that? You know, maybe that was our indicator of, oh boy, you're not going to enjoy whatever this is. And I'm sure there might be people out there who think 5150 from top to bottom is just perfection, is rock and roll perfection. I think Mark Ellis might be one of them. Mm-hmm. But you know, I wish he was on the show so we could discuss it, because I would love to hear his defense of Inside. Maybe one day. But I don't know, man. He just, yeah, I don't have a lot to say about this. I'm disappointed, because you think 5150 is like, that's, you know, what a great Sammy album. And the rest of the album is great. Let's maintain that. But why did you have to end so weakly? You know, I don't know. Yeah, just that's, it really kind of, as you said, it sort of kind of tampers my thoughts on this album now.
And that's like, 5150 is a great bummer. Album. And my favorite Van Halen song of all time is on 5150. I'm not going to say it because we're going to cover it at some point. But my favorite Van Halen tune of all time is on this record. It's not Inside. I can tell you that much.
Oh, damn it. There went my guess. No, I'm kidding. No, I can't imagine this is anyone's favorite from this album. Even if you love 5150 from top to bottom, I don't see how you love this one. Maybe you tolerate it. Maybe you give it a pass because you think 5150 is just, you know, supreme. And that's awesome. That's cool. You know what? Let us know. You should hit us up on the socials about that. Corey, do you have any final thoughts on Inside from the album 5150?
I tell you, I'm on the Wikipedia page here. I'm looking at the singles from 5150, and the second single from this album was Dreams, which we use in our voting now for the song we like. The B-side of Dreams was Inside. So they liked this thing enough to put it on the B-side for Dreams, which I find kind of surprising.
Are there two versions of the song out there somewhere? Like, is there, or the, were they just, I am baffled now. This has turned into like a mystery. I gotta solve.
We gotta find the old 45 that was released in 86, May of 1986, with Dreams as the A side and Inside on the B side. Is this a different version of the song, or was it what we just listened to tonight? That's interesting.
We should reach out to this producer of this album. You know, this is his first time. Like, I'm sure he probably had to deal with a lot of shit during this. So I would love to talk to that guy, pick his brain, especially about this track. Oh, because
he would have some stories.
I'm baffled.
Yeah, and I tell you, like, this is the first Van Halen album to go to number one. It went platinum in a week, according to Sammy Hagar. Like, this was a hugely successful album, and they felt strong enough about this material that they put it as the outro to the album, which it kind of baffles me a little bit.
I mean, maybe as soon as you go platinum with your album, you can do no wrong and you feel like you are, pardon the pun, on top of the world. And why not? You know, it's just like, you know what? We're so confident in this. We're going to send out a B-side of our worst track and you're going to love it. Spoilers. No one loved it, but it's fine. It's fine. It did not hurt the album sales, apparently. Okay. What did you say? It went like six times platinum.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And this is back when that actually meant something, kids. You know, nowadays, whatever. But anyway, again, there's got to be somebody out there that really, really enjoys this track. And you know what? We want to hear from you. I want you to argue your case. You can hit us up on Twitter at PodcastWillRock and let us know. And if you want to contact us individually, Corey, where can the people find
you? They can find me at CD Morset on Twitter and Instagram. And please, well, I'll put a poll up like I did last week. I think this will be a regular thing. Please vote. Are you a fan of Inside? And if you are, let us know what about this song did it for you, because it didn't exactly work for Mark and I. And there's still stuff to like in it. Even a bad Van Halen song still has redeeming qualities, but holy cow. Mark, where can they find you?
You can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. I think we should do that. We should set up a rockin' poll, and you guys can tell us whether this song was A or was it nay. Tell us why. I really want to know. And even if you are just completely joking and you just send us this essay as to why this song is so great, I will be more than happy to read it, because I will find that very entertaining that you had so much energy to put into that. But if you genuinely love it, yeah, do let us know. That's the show, you guys, and the podcast will rock. We are rocking another Van Halen tune this week. It wasn't for us, but, you know, we rocked it nonetheless. And as Corey said, in every Van Halen track, there is a redeeming quality. There is something to get psyched about. And I got psyched for the bass line. I got psyched for Eddie's solo. It wasn't a great solo, but it was a good solo. A good solo is better than no solo, right? Am I right? Yeah. And, you know, and that's why I don't do this show solo. I need Corey's input. I need his wherewithal and his good brain and his knowledge. And he keeps me on track instead of just ranting, because if you know my work, you know I love ranting.
That's your brand.
Any final thoughts, Corey?
Nope.
It is my plan, yeah.
I just wanted to preface by saying we were going to have a special guest on here for our 10th episode extravaganza. Unfortunately, coronavirus is playing with everybody's schedules, and they couldn't make it on this week. But we are going to try and get them on next week, and I can't wait, because they would have had a lot of fun, I think, talking about Inside. They would have hated it, but I think they would have had a lot of fun. I'm not going to tip our hand on who it is, but it's a big name in the deep dive music podcast community, and I can't wait to get them on the show. If you'd like, please check out our website. Check out our friends on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. There's tons of great shows. If you're a Uriah Heep fan or a Chili Peppers fan or a Priest fan or a Maiden fan or an Aussie fan, or a Hawk Binge fan. Like, there's so many great shows out there and great podcasts. Check them all out. You'll find all the links on our website. And pick up some merch. Why the hell not? Wear the Podcast Will Rock logo around. I know my kids are going to be walking around school wearing that and have all the kids go, what the hell is that? I'm going to be wearing it when I go check out ZZ Top and Alice Cooper and Foo Fighters this year. I got some concerts booked I'm going to, so I'll be wearing our colors with pride. And please continue to join us along this ride and interact with us. Let us know what you thought of Inside and any of our other shows. And we're happy to chat. We're happy to have other people on the show and go on this journey with us of experiencing the entire Van Halen catalog one song at a time. We're 10 episodes in. We got 110 to go, and I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to getting some merch, because I love wearing merch. That's going to be a fun time. Always a fun time talking about Van Halen, listening to Van Halen. Always a fun time doing this show. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.